It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Raheem Morris for stopping by, as always, on Wednesdays, your exclusive coverage of the Falcons here on Dukes and Bell. And thanks to Divine Diablo. If you missed that interview, very fun dude.
That's Divine Diablo.
Good dude. Who stopped by earlier in the show. A couple of things that we want to fill you in on before we get out of here at 6. And, of course, Chris has got the night show. Lots of stuff to get to for him. We find out that one of our wide receivers has a concussion.
Yeah, and you and I were just trying to figure out what had happened. Was that when they had the pass breakup when Antoine Whitfield came over and broke up that ball that we thought he maybe should have caught? Talking about Casey Washington.
He laid on the field a while, yeah. Remember?
Yeah, number 82. But Day-Day, I don't know if that was the specific contact.
So I do, if I remember correctly, and oh, maybe you can jump in as well, I do feel like he came out after that
play.
But then I remember him, if I'm not mistaken, he was back in a few plays later and made a catch.
Okay.
Either way, found out that he's getting concussion protocol, and we know that one of the Vikings linebackers, right, is in the concussion protocol. So that generally means if it's – you know, if it was a Monday night game, there's just no way you're going to make a Sunday, it sounds like. But Casey Washington, the concussions, so he didn't participate. Official listing, coach said he expects Strickland, he thinks Strickland will play, but Mooney and London officially were limited today. So they were in pads,
okay,
but there's no contact for those two. James Pierce is also limited with a groin, as you say in Texas.
Okay, and he, again, considering getting to and around and being where he needed to be, he did a great job. We as a team didn't get enough sacks, didn't get enough of the finishing moments. And Ra talked about that with us, you know, this hour, as you heard that conversation from earlier in the day. I just feel like, man, we're going to get a lot better in that area. And here's the other thing. We didn't blitz a whole lot. The one time we blitzed, Mike, we got home. But we didn't blitz Baker a whole lot because of his escapability.
But if you're looking for trends, compared to last year with Jimmy Lake, I saw the number. We blitzed 10% more. Our blitz rate was higher than certainly any time last year for the Falcons. So that's Jeff Ulbrich already. You see his fingerprints on this. And as I said to you, I think you and I talked about it Monday. I don't like if I've got a guy like that, I'd rather lose the game blitzing and being aggressive than sitting back in a zone and getting carved up because I'm not getting there with the down lineman pressure.
Yeah, and by the way, you saw McCarthy's scrambling ability on Monday night.
He can move.
He can move. You got to stay in your passing lanes or your rush lanes and make sure that we keep him contained. Hey, man, as we are just kind of recapping some of the things that went down today here at Flowery Branch inside the Ticketmaster Studios, I think the main thing, and a lot of you are saying, is the kicking situation resolved? The answer is no. It is not. This is going to be an ongoing thing all week. Raheem said they are out there kicking, not right now, but they were kicking at practice, and they'll kick tomorrow and Friday at practice as well.
Right. Parker Romo is the dude's name. Who is it? Eddie Pinero, the often-traveled Eddie Pinero, signed with the 49ers. I talked to Carl about it earlier. The quote from the ESPN San Francisco 49ers reporter was, he had been contacted by the Falcons, thought it was a better opportunity. Yeah, it's a better opportunity when one team has a kicker, another one doesn't have a kicker. Because for those who don't remember, the 49ers cut Moody after he had a horrible day against the Seattle in a game they had to squeeze in and get the win. So if Romo, I don't know. I don't know where this is at. It's tough to ask coach as we tried to get inside a kicker's head. It's a very scary place.
No, it is.
You know, that's what makes guys like Morton Anderson and Matt Bryant. You realize how good these guys were and how solid they were for this team. And we thought we had the same thing with for 3 years.
We did.
Until it wasn't.
Yeah. Look, it's hard. Sustainability at that position, Mike, is hard. Like, if you get a guy kick really good for you for 5 years, you're blessed. Right? I mean, like, most of these kickers just don't last long because of the stuff we're talking about.
We had Jay Feely back in the day. I mean, after Morton, we went through a number of years with
a bunch of kickers.
Matt Prater was here.
That's right.
I mean, I remember the 07, the lost year with Petrino. Yeah, it was like musical chairs at kicker.
You're trying to find that guy. So, for as consistent as Koo has been, we have been, seriously, we've gotten really lucky. But now, is this wobble the end? Or is it just a wobble? And that is my concern. Like, you know, you can ignore it, but I can't. I can't sit here and tell you, like, I'm in full confidence that Sunday, if he does roll back out there, and he might. I said I won't be surprised. I'd be more surprised if it's the other guy that's in town, you know, trying to kick and take his spot. But I think more than anything, Mike, that's got to be certainly a small concern. It is not the biggest concern, Mike, if we can't run the ball, push the ball down the field, or stop the run against the
right.
Vikings. It's not the biggest
concern. By the way, Falcons blitz rate, yeah, I was looking for the numbers. Because if nothing else, Carl, I'd like to be accurate. Mark Raimondi, I think Joe had this, Juju Patrick. Falcons blitz rate week one was 32.4%. Last season was 26.9%, second lowest in the league. And while I'm throwing more numbers at you, as Coach likes to remind us, stats are for losers.
Michael, we didn't get any results.
Michael Penix Jr., 42.3% of his snaps from the pistol.
Yep.
I'm not a fan. I understand he had it in college in week one. Mark Raimondi reminds us by far the most in the NFL. The second closest was Jalen Hurts last Thursday night at 19.4%.
Well, that shouldn't surprise anybody. Let me remind you guys. I know it's we all have short memories. The same stat was given last year when Kirk Cousins started the game week one.
And we hated it then, too.
And how much we were in the pistol
right.
more than anybody else in the NFL. And everybody said, why the hell are we in the pistol? This is what
that's his offense.
This is what we're going to do. So it's not just Michael Penix. If you went back and looked at how much we were in the pistol percentage-wise in week one of last year, I guarantee you guys are going to be like, oh, wow, we were talking about that.
Right. And for those – we're not talking about like one of the horrible things that Paul Stanley used to say all the time in Kiss, Carl, on stage when they'd sing Love Gun. He'd always do this rap day-day. I went to see the doctor the other day. She said, Gene, Paul, need to see your pistol. That's not a pistol. That's my Love Gun. Like, yeah. You know, that was lame when I was 10.
Yes.
And it was certainly lame when I was 50. I shouldn't be going to Kiss concerts in my 50s. But the pistol for guys at home, most of our audience knows it. It's the shotgun with a running back next to you, basically.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And the purpose, as you heard, maybe you didn't, Zach Robinson addressed it today saying he picked up on this when he was with Sean McVay, and they were running it, and it gives the running back a better chance to get the ball in his hands quicker and make decisions and cuts at a lot faster rate. Listen, all these guys are trying to scheme up and create things to help their teams and their players, but we're not the only ones running it. But I just – here's my question, and it's not just about the pistol because it's not going anywhere for us.
Right.
The short yardage situation.
That's my concern. And that's let me do a better job of explaining or framing the argument. I understand. Carl just laid it out. That's our offense. That's our identity. In short yardage, though, should it be the constant? That's where I want to see Michael Penix. Michael Penix Jr. has shown you the athleticism. He gets to the goal line. He extends his body. He can do a quarterback sneak.
Yep.
When we've got a foot and a half to get, I don't want a running back 5 yards off the line. Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's the part. Hey, tomorrow, Mike, we are incoming.
Yeah, man. We're going to be at Buffalo's Cafe up 400 way, Buford Highway, where 20 intersects with 400. Just down the street, we'll be at Buffalo's Cafe with some great listeners. Chris Pugh is one of our audience that shows up every time we're there. He sent us, you and I, the video the other day of him getting so frustrated, he rips the Falcon flag down off his porch and puts a Georgia flag up to get ready for the Tennessee game.
He did.
He javelined his Falcons flag and then later picked it up. Let that flag hit the ground. But, yeah, we'll see him and all those knuckleheads up there at, again, Buffalo's Cafe. And don't forget, Friday, we're going to be, if you're heading up for Knoxville for the Georgia Bulldogs, taking on the Vols, that's going to be Twin Peaks, the mother. We could call that the mothership of Twin Peaks. Huge store, exit one, first exit into Tennessee off of 75.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, man, next few days. But tomorrow, come on out if you're in the coming area. And, again, right there off of 400 is where we'll be. All right, man, we got to get out of the way. Turtle's got the night show coming up. I'm sure he's going to dive into a bunch of things that Rod told us, and including Divine Diablo, who joined us as well. If you missed any of the interviews, again, online at odyssey.com. Big O, let's clear our throat. Day-Day, great job up here, as always, at Flowery Branch. Big shout-out to G-Money, our on-site engineer, and the Falcon staff, and everybody who always helps us and makes things so accommodating. We always have fun up here. We'll be up here the rest of the season, guys. If you're new to the show, we bring you this exclusive stuff up here every Wednesday, getting a chance to talk to Coach, different players throughout the course of the year. Sunday night, more on that coming up because the Vikings are going to be a big test. We'll continue to count down and find out where our team is with the injuries and all of that tomorrow as well. We are also going to go behind enemy lines tomorrow and talk to a guy that covers the Vikings and knows that team really well. What are they really good at right now with J.J. McCarthy? We're going to find out tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. B-Mac's going to join us as well to talk all things NFL. Big show tomorrow and coming from Buffalo's Cafe. All right, Mike, we got to get out of the way, man. Let's clear our throat.
Hey, man, we were talking about it yesterday, and a little more clarification from Brian Snitker. We saw from Mark Bowman from MajorLeagueBaseball.com that apparently Snit's got some time to think about what he wants to do himself. Now, sure says like he's got some energy, and he's still got dedication to the game. But we were trying to figure out, is he coming back or isn't he? Because Alex made it sound like they were putting him out to pasture, but didn't say definitively what's going to happen. They are going to have a meeting. But Brian Snitker, I tell you what, if you had to deal with all those injuries and now Ronald Acuna struggling, maybe it's time to go hit some golf balls. If he even does that. He's a lifer for baseball, but it sounds to me like we might not get any clarification on that, which means we also may miss out on some other candidates for a job if he decides to walk away.
Lamar Jackson has apologized to a Buffalo Bills fan that he shoved in relation to what happened on Sunday night. You missed it? Well, he throws a touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins in the third quarter. Fan wearing a red Bills jersey initially hit Hopkins on the helmet before doing the same to Lamar.
Right.
And Lamar immediately delivered a two-hand push that sent the fan falling backwards. Lamar said, look, it just happened. But here's his message. Just chill next time. I don't mind you booing me, talking trash, but keep your hands to yourself. I agree with
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This isn't the zoo, guys. These guys are men, and they are professional athletes. Your ticket price doesn't give you a chance to slap anybody in the helmet or tackle them on the field, all right? That's not your job. I don't think Lamar should apologize, but I understand why he did. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
it's okay. Let's all be cool. Let's all get along.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.